If you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that is going to be our scriptural text on this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We hear often how good God is, and God is very good. And oftentimes when someone says God is good, it's repeated, it's followed up by all the time. You know, God is amazing. God is love. God will love us more than we could ever understand. And we are extremely blessed to be called children of God. We are extremely blessed to have the actual Word of God to guide us. You know, if you Google who is the greatest NBA coach of all time, Phil Jackson will come up. Phil Jackson is considered the best NBA coach. He's widely accepted as the best NBA coach of all time. Yet despite all his success, despite all of his championships, Phil Jackson never had the opposing team's playbook. Well, God has gifted us with such a playbook. We know how things will turn out for the devil. We know how things will turn out for the Lord. We know that the Lord will be victorious in the end. And we know where our love should be because of the playbook that God has given us, because of the Holy Scriptures. But when we invest our love in the wrong place, things will not be as the Lord intended it to be for our souls. So with these things in mind, this evening we are going to be studying the subject, an impossible love. An impossible love. And there are three things that I would like to bring to our attention regarding this topic. Three things, and then the lesson is yours. The first of which actually tells us what this impossible love is. An impossible love is a divided love. An impossible love is a divided love. I want us to start by considering the fact that God so loved and so loves the world. One of the most quoted verses in all the Bible, one of the most well-known verses in all the Bible, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God does not love the things in the world, but the souls that He created that are in the world. In the gift of His Son, the world can see the unselfishness and the sacrificial love God has for us. God was willing to depart to temporarily part, and allow His only Son to die just to save us. I want us to consider the words of David in Psalm. The chapter is 8 and the verses are 3 and 4. Psalm, the chapter is 8 and the verses are 3 and 4. When I look at your heavens, the word of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You know, that's when we read that psalm, I mean, that should strike a chord with us. I remember in Arizona, I was, you know, I'd been a Christian for maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. And I remember looking up next to the apartment building that I lived in and really seeing how small I was in compared to this apartment building. And it was at night, I looked beyond the building and I see all the stars. And I remember thinking how small I was in comparison to all that the Lord has created. And David considers these same things. He says, What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Well, man to God is His crown creation. And He has shown that He will go to extremes to save it. He has shown the abundant love that He has for each and every one of us. So in return, man must so love the Lord. If the Lord was willing to have such a love for us, should we not also display such a love for Him in return? But instead, we can develop self-centered human desires that rival with and even at times exclude a love for God. A love for God and a love for the world is a divided love, and it is impossible to do. John records for us in verse 15 of our scriptural text, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If we claim that we have a divided love for the world and a divided love for God, we really don't have a love for God. We think we can do both, but in reality, we cannot. Love is exclusive, and just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 in the verses 24, you cannot serve two masters. It is also true that we cannot have a divided love. I want us to consider the bride's love for her groom and the groom's love for her, the bride's love for her groom and the groom's love for his bride. How would my wife feel if I told her that I loved her, but I also love another woman? That would be unacceptable, because a spouse cannot have divided interests, a spouse cannot have a divided heart, and a spouse's love must be exclusive. I want us to look at the book of Ephesians, the chapter is 5, and we're going to read verses 22 through 33. Ephesians, the chapter is 5, and the verses are 22 through 33. There the Apostle Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water in the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Paul here is comparing the relationship between a husband and a wife to that of the church and Christ. Spouses are to be faithful and exclusive to their spouse. The church is the bride of Christ, and the bride must also be faithful to, exclusive to, and love Christ as Christ has been faithful, exclusive, and loves the church. So an impossible love is a divided love. And that brings us to our second point on this evening. The reason we cannot love the world is because all in the world is not from God. The reason we cannot love the world is because all in the world is not from God. The world is not full of righteousness. The world is not full of people ready and willing to obey God on His terms. But instead, the world is full of wickedness. And here we see three things that are in opposition to God that exist in the world today. The first of which is the desires or the lust of the flesh. We have to understand that not all of our desires are sinful. It is not sinful to have sexual desires. The problem and the sin is when we attempt to fulfill the desires in ways God has not commanded. God has given man the marriage relationship to fulfill those sexual desires. But when we engage in sexual immorality in any way, like fornication or adultery or homosexuality or pornography or anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine, we sin by giving in to the lust of the flesh. And we also have to understand that the lust of the flesh is not just sexual either. Gluttony would be considered lust of the flesh. Drunkenness, any physical appetite that we seek to satisfy by ungodly means is giving in to those desires of the flesh. We see that there's the desires of the flesh. And the next example we have in our scriptural text is the desires or the lust of the eyes. The desires and the lust of the eyes involve more than what can just be physically seen, but also include what can be thought or imagined in our minds. We don't just need to have our actions, our way of life in check. We also need to have our thoughts in check. We need to have our words in check. If our thoughts are free to roam, then the desires of the eyes could lead to the desires and the lust of the flesh. When we don't have discipline, when we don't have self-control, we make decisions based on how appealing something is to our eyes, and ladies and gentlemen, that will not bring us closer to God. We see the example that John gives in the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and also the pride of life. The pride of life is referring to a pride in one's possessions or a pride in one's lifestyle. Your translation may see, because there are translations out there that say a pride in possessions or a pride in lifestyle. Society teaches that we should take pride in status, that we should have certain clothes, certain cars, certain homes, certain jobs, all to improve our status, and that we should strive to have more than our neighbor. We should strive to be better than our neighbor. This is the things that the world teaches. The world is against being content, while God is all for it. Brethren, we should take pride in being Christians, knowing that God is proud of those who take pride in being called a child of His. So an impossible love is a divided love. We have to understand that the reason that we cannot love the world is all in the world is not from God. And our third and final point on this evening is this: if we love the world, then. If we love the world, then we will pass away with it. We are not known by God, and we do not have eternal life, and we are foolish. If we love the world, then we will pass away with it. Everything in the world is passing away. Why should we take joy in pleasures that are fleeting? The world is passing away right before our eyes as we live in it and as we experience it. Many people are tempted to live for the moment, which is living for the world in hope that there is no judgment in the end, or doubt that there will be a judgment in the end. But the scriptures are clear that there is going to be a judgment. The scriptures are clear that we are going to have to give an answer for everything that we have done, everything that we have said, everything that we have thought. We are going to have to give an answer in the day of judgment. So there is no doubt that there is going to be a judgment. And it is natural for us to want to make ourselves comfortable in the present world rather than to deny comfort here and hope for a better comfort hereafter. But brethren, that is what we have to be willing to do. We have to deny a love for the present world, which is passing away, in order to receive an eternal love from the Lord. When we love, if we love the world, then we are going to pass away with it. And if we love the world, then we are not known by God and do not have eternal life. I want us to look at the book of Matthew chapter 7 and consider verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7 verses 21 through 23. There Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" All who are unknown by God are those who make themselves strangers of God. When we consider Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 19, there it says that we are no longer strangers of God, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If we keep from doing His will and live a life of love for the world, making a practice of sin, then we can go from being once known to numbered among the unknown in the day of judgment. Jesus says that only those who are going to enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of His Father in heaven. He says that those who will receive an eternal separation from God are those who He tells, "Depart from me, you who practice or you workers of iniquity, you who practice or you work lawlessness." We can know who God is But for God to know who we are, we must do His will, and we must practice righteousness instead of lawlessness. And just like one who practices sin is one who is living in sin, one who practices righteousness is one who is living a righteous life. Finally, if we do not love the world, then we are foolish. We can read in verse 17 of our scriptural text that whoever does the will of God abides forever. If nothing in this world is going to last, then that means any worldly joy or satisfaction will be temporary as well. Eternal joy and eternal satisfaction are found when we seek the ways of God. But the foolish reject that which is eternal and take hold of that which is temporary. There's a basketball player that I'm sure we've all at least heard of. He's been retired for quite some time. His name is Magic Johnson. And when Magic Johnson was entering the league, he had all of these shoe companies giving him all of this money. And they said, you know, sign with us, and we'll give you so much money. Sign with us, and we'll give you so much money. Well, there was a company started by a man named Phil Knight. And this man could not give him money, but instead said, I'll give you stock in my company. And, of course, Phil Knight went on to create Nike. He went on to create Nike, and he was willing to give him thousands of shares. And Magic Johnson took a shoe deal with a company named Converse in 1980. And in 2003, Nike bought that shoe company known as Converse. And the $1,000 in stocks that Magic Johnson would have been given would have been worth over $65 million today. And Magic Johnson himself says that he made the wrong choice. But at the same time, how could Magic Johnson know what Nike would become? Ladies and gentlemen, I say that story because we, on the other hand, know what is going to become of this world. We know the things that are going to happen in the end because God tells us so. God's Word reveals to us. This isn't, a shot in the dark. We don't have to guess which is the better choice to make. God tells us loving Him is the better choice to make. God tells us what's going to happen if we have a love for the world. So, brethren, let us not be foolish and make the wrong choice by choosing a love for this world over a love for God. So where do you stand on this evening? Where is your love? You know, we can say that we love God, but do our lives reflect that love? Are our lives examples that God is pleased with? Are we putting and keeping God first? Does God have that top place in our lives? If not, we need to make sure that we make the change while we have the opportunity to do so. We're about to sing a song, and that song is titled, Do You Know My Jesus? We know who Jesus is. We know what Jesus has prepared for those who are faithful to Him. We know what Jesus has prepared for those who do not have a divided love, who are not trying to love the world and at the same time claim to love Christ. We understand that God is going to bless those who love Him with all their heart. About when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the first thing that Jesus says is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Do we do that? Do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? If not, then we need to make the change today while we have the opportunity. We need to make things right with God. We need to live lives that are pleasing to Him because the things in this life are temporary. And if we choose this life, then we made the wrong choice. We know that we have to pray to God and we have to ask Him for forgiveness. We know that we need to pray to Him. We know that we need to repent and turn away from the evil in our lives. And we know that we have the opportunity and the ability to ask for prayers on our behalf from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if that's you this evening, You are among those who love you. You are among those who want the best for you. You are among those who want to see you spend eternity with God in heaven. So you do not have to be ashamed to make things right with God, if that's you this evening. So wherever you are, we ask that you make a wise-hearted decision. Well, together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.